This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all of the time. Oh yeah, life is bare. Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather, stormy weather, and I just can't get my poor self together. Oh, I'm weary all of the time.
There you go, a little Etta James. Very good, Ed. I like that song. Stormy weather. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for joining us. It is Tuesday, July the 6th, kind of in the midsummer, I guess you would say. Things are hot all over the place. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk to him about last month's unemployment and employment numbers, job numbers, June's job numbers, which, by the way, they came in quite well. Surprisingly, and what the government should do or not do now that we've got those numbers. Should they do more? Should they do less? What do you think? Well, we'll talk with Ryan Young about that. And speaking about employment, some jobless Americans are suing states that have ended the federal unemployment benefits. In other words, they want to keep getting that $300 a week. They don't need to go back to work right away. They want to relax, right? Meantime, Joe Biden's tax plan, remember he kept saying it's going to be the rich people that we're going to go after, right? We're not going to go after anybody else. Hey, this tax plan is slapping everybody's wallet, not just rich people. We're going to get some perspective on both of these things, these stories, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later, Andrew Cerasi. And we will dust off another edition of Campus Quackery. A George Soros-backed college is pushing prison abolition. Prison abolition. How does that sound? What do you think, huh? So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And we keep telling you, you guys, for my money, the best place to get your hair cut in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, is located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. You got to call first, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Always, always do we want to tip our cap to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. I hope you listen to them. They're a great lead-in to our show. Just delighted to have their acquaintance, Paul and Tracy Allen. All right. So, we don't normally get into other, governor races and the like, but I found this one to be kind of interesting. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, who has been very much in the news recently with the border situation, trying to build his own border because the feds won't do it. After trailing Matthew McConaughey, you know, the actor, who apparently has said, yep, I'm running. After trailing him in the spring, Governor Abbott has rebounded. He's now got a slight lead over the actor. They're almost tied, but, that's the thing. If you act, all of a sudden, you can go and run for governor somewhere. Somehow, if you're acting in Hollywood, and you're a popular actor, this qualifies you to take high office in this country. That's the quickest road. I mean, even Ronald Reagan. Let's be honest.
Well, you got the former Bruce Jenner now.
And we got
Caitlyn
Jenner.
Yeah.
She's running.
Alyssa Milano can't keep her big mouth shut.
Alyssa Milano?
She thinks she should run the country.
Correct.
Who else do we have?
Well, we've had many. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. You think he got there because of his political acumen? Hell no. It was his physical acumen. You know, we got all of these people all over. So, hey, listen. Everybody knows that popular. If you're not liked, you ain't going to win, and you're not going to be a governor. So Matt McConaughey is running along, and he's doing quite well. Do you ever watch any of his movies, Ed? He's not a bad actor. He's done some pretty good movies, I guess. He seems to be his persona always seems to be a little bit moody or whatever it is. You know, he's got that. I don't know if he's trying to adopt the actor back in the 50s, James Dean.
Who are you talking about? Matthew McConaughey.
Who the hell do you think I'm talking about? Shirley Temple?
No, I didn't know. You were jumping around there.
Well, I'm jumping around because I'm talking about this race.
I've seen a lot of Matthew McConaughey movies. A lot.
What do you think of him?
He is a great actor.
You like him?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know.
I agree with you.
He's very vocal in his alma mater, you know, Texas Longhorns.
Right. Yeah, he is an active person politically, right?
Is that enough of a resume to get you into politics?
It shouldn't be.
No.
But it is. Anyway, Abbott, who, by the way, is confined to a wheelchair. I guess I don't know what his background, whether or not he had been born with the paralysis or something developed later in life. But he's a two-term Republican. He's favored by about 39% of Texans. McConaughey, who hasn't picked a political party, by the way, and apparently has not even, now that I look at it, he hasn't even committed to running. But he gets 38%. That's only 1% less than the governor who is running. So I don't know. That doesn't bode well for the governor, I don't think. Maybe he can call Matthew and say, Matthew, you're a great actor, and you ought to stick with it. You shouldn't get into politics. Believe me, Matthew. I've been in it for a while, and it's hell. You're going to be much happier acting. Maybe he can do that. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that. Don't know why. I just find it very interesting. We'll keep an eye on that particular race. Now, we want to get back to these job numbers, and we're going to have our buddy, who we've had on many times, by the way, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, join us, talk a little bit about what happened in June. The numbers were very good, actually. We added about 850,000 jobs last month. That was much better than expected. And it was especially good in the leisure and hospitality sector.
Would that be jobs that businesses that closed because of COVID and then reopened?
That's a good point. And these are jobs that certainly when businesses reopen would be filled again, I would suspect. Yes. Yes.
I'm sure he put a notch on his belt for that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he couldn't get in front of a microphone and get his teleprompter turned on fast enough.
You think he's going to whisper again?
Oh, yeah. He did it again the other day. It was really creepy.
I created jobs.
Good old Uncle Joe. You don't want to be alone in a room with Uncle Joe.
Get the kids out of the room.
Correct. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ryan Young.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for joining us here on the Freedom Works Radio Show and the Tantalk Radio Network. And, you know, Joe Biden couldn't get to a microphone and a camera fast enough to channel his Ronald Reagan about how well these job numbers are looking right now. In fact, he likened the recovery to the economic boom experienced under the Reagan administration. He said the last time the economy grew at this rate was 1984, and Ronald Reagan was telling us it's morning in America. Well, he said, it's getting close to afternoon here. The sun is coming out. All right, so he's channeling a little bit of Ronald Reagan. We got Ryan Young with us, and Ryan, these June job numbers did look good, and if I was Biden, thank God I'm not, I would also probably be clucking a little bit about this. So what say you? Can he legitimately claim credit or some credit for these numbers?
Maybe a little, but overall, presidents get too much credit and too much criticism when things go good or bad. So I don't think he really had that much to do with it. What did have to do with the good numbers is vaccinations. Mm. The reason people are going back out and traveling again and going to movies and going to full stadiums again is because they feel safe doing so. That's because vaccination rates didn't hit the 70% mark like Biden wanted, but we are up to 67%. Excuse me. And it's still climbing. So things are looking good. They'll get better. And I think we'll see another bump in the fall because we're going to go back to in-person schooling. So a lot of parents who are still reluctant to get out and get back into the workforce because of child care responsibilities are going to feel okay doing so.
Right.
So things are good now. Could be better. But I would look for continued optimism. And I also don't think the president's going to have a lot to do with it either way.
Well, he certainly didn't challenge his Donald Trump, did he? In fact, he doesn't want to give Trump any credit. And yet, in the Trump presidency, we got this whole vaccination program going, got it underway. But I don't think Biden will ever credit Trump. And the numbers, by the way, were also very good for unemployment, as we all know, for just about every for every group. But you'll never hear him talk about Trump. So I guess the next question, and you've talked about it here, what should the government do? Should they just stand still, Ryan, to get out of the way? Are these programs that Biden is dreaming up, are they going to help anything?
They're not going to help, but there's still a lot that Congress and the president do need to do. What we're seeing now is essentially a reversion to trend. We're going back to where the economy was before. Pre-COVID, the fundamentals weren't perfect, but they were pretty good. And that's exactly where we're going back to, steady growth. What we're seeing is that we do not need this massive trillion-dollar infrastructure bill. We don't need another, I think they're talking about as much as $6 trillion in total spending. The economy is recovering just fine without that. It's going to continue recovering just fine without that because the economic fundamentals are strong. What policymakers do need to do is essentially a deregulatory stimulus. During COVID, we benefited greatly from getting rid of restrictions on telemedicine, from the FDA loosening up its 10-year approval process to 1 year to get a vaccine to the market. easing up on licenses and restrictions that were hurting small businesses who were struggling to stay open. The more policies like that we can pursue, the better. That's going to be free economic stimulus that doesn't add to the deficit.
Well, you know Biden's not going to listen to you. He's not going to start cutting back. He's not going to start cutting back on regular. Yeah, the first thing he did when he got in was to start looking for additional regulations, along with shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and the like. Which brings me to our gasoline situation, which also brings me to the inflation situation. Gasoline is around $3 to $4 a gallon, just about everywhere in the country right now. Maybe out in California, it's more. And we've got what you know that when the cost of gas goes up, everything else goes up because every product is delivered ultimately by a truck to get into a store, right? So do you think he's going to turn any attention to that? I mean, I think that's a huge factor. That is a tax on and in itself that is never really mentioned, especially by Democrats.
Yeah, inflation's a tricky one. The way to deal with that is to leave the Fed alone and give them the political independence that they're supposed to have. If President Biden can do that, then things will be more or less be okay. There's a lot I would change at the Fed, but overall, at least since the late Carter, early Reagan years, they've done a decent job on inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I do worry about the energy prices, though. That's not inflation, that's supply and demand. Inflation always has to do with money supply. If it's not monetary, it's not inflation. And there I am worried because you mentioned Keystone and a lot of the other disastrous energy policies that might go into the infrastructure bill and then the massive omnibus spending bill that we have coming to us later in the year. That's something to watch out for. That could raise consumer prices and throw a wrench into the recovery.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was good that this boom that we got, we call it a boom, whatever you want to call it, in June, the good numbers. A lot of it was, I guess, leisure and hospitality jobs. Is that restaurant jobs? Then we've got these states that are pulling back on that federal unemployment of $300 a week. That money coming from the federal, which I thought was I thought from the first it worried me. You know, talk about wanting to keep people at home. Just send more money their way. You know, that was $1,200 a month extra for people. And that's not going to help a lot of leisure and hospitality. But then we've got, 28 states or so now that have dropped that. And is that helping, too?
It will. And we'll see more, especially come September, when we have more expirations of those programs. But we're seeing is what happened. What a lot of people did with those is they didn't spend the money to stimulate the economy like a lot of policymakers wanted to. People saved it. They're saving it for a time like right now when things are opening up and now people can take the summer vacations that they wanted to last year but couldn't. They can go on those fancy restaurant dinner dates. They can go out to sporting events again. And people are going to start spending down, and that's going to force them, well, one, as they eat through their nest egg, go back to work themselves, but also stimulate the rest of the economy as they spend money that they had been saving. So that'll be a double effect. It's not so much additional stimulus as it is people just save now and then spend later, and now it's later.
Right, you are. We're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we are talking about the June job numbers. They were very good, and what government can do now to keep things going. Ryan, I think Joe Biden has just been awfully lucky. I mean, the pandemic hits while Trump is in office. Biden comes in, and we got the vaccine going, and job numbers are coming back. So he's going to benefit from this. And no matter, I mean, I would think that people basically, as they are coming back into the, you know, outside and doing things again, like you were saying, and they are, and kids are going back to school, is he not going to be the beneficiary of this?
Maybe, maybe not. I think people are pretty set in their ways as far as how they're going to vote, as far as which political tribe they join. So mm-hmm. Maybe at the margin, a few undecideds, but no, I think people are set in their ways.
They're set in their ways. And I'm not talking necessarily about the 22 elections, the off-year elections, although I think maybe Republicans may have a shot. based on a lot of things that have been going on. But I was thinking again about if he decided he wanted to run. And, of course, that's still too far away to maybe consider. But so your overall feelings about this recovery, it sounds like you're fairly positive about the way things are going. I mean, if the federal government did nothing at all, in my opinion, we would probably get even better results, if you want to know the truth. I don't like them getting involved in it at all, you know, from a libertarian perspective. But do you see 2021, the rest of this year and early in the next year, as being good and things getting back to normal?
On balance, yeah. And the credit doesn't go to Washington. The credit goes to the scientists who invented the vaccine. It goes to people who hunkered down when they needed to and are coming out now that they feel safer doing so. If Congress and the president would actually enact a deregulatory stimulus and loosen up some of the trade barriers that are still keeping consumer prices high and choking up supply pipelines and industries from autos to construction, we could see even better numbers. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's low-hanging fruit ready to be picked anytime Congress wants to.
Okay. And what do you think about the infrastructure bill? Is that going to get passed? And the reconciliation, are they going to come to any kind of an agreement? It seems like they're cutting some of that fat out of the infrastructure bill. And, of course, the Democrats consider infrastructure anything that comes to mind where they can spend money. But, you know, do you think that infrastructure, are we going to get an infrastructure bill passed?
I would imagine so. There's too many goodies to give away for to not pass.
You're right about that.
It's not going to do a lick of good for the economy because all of those projects will be politically chosen rather than chosen on the merits. And if anything, it'll put a drag on the recovery. But it'll pass.
What about reconciliation? Is that going anywhere?
Yeah, with that deadline spur action, so there's going to be a lot of drama, a lot of buildup, a lot of chit-chat about it. But ultimately, at the last minute, they'll cobble something together, and it will be very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the recovery will suffer as a result, but I do think we'll at least avoid a government shutdown.
Well, you know, and the other thing, and I must tell you, you know, from a personal standpoint, I was very, very concerned. I got a lot of mutual funds and the like, and I was very concerned about the stock market. And I thought that with these huge trillion-dollar proposed packages and the inflation issue, I was really concerned that it was going to, like, just pull the rug out. You know, high inflation and maybe a horrible, I wouldn't say depression, but recession in the stock market. But yet, you know, you look at that situation, at least the stock market seems to be maintaining. I don't know why. You know, when they're talking about all these big spending numbers, I just don't know. I don't know why, but do you think, you know, economically, stock market and everything else that thing? I mean, nobody can predict that, you know, what's going to happen. But do you think it's in a good place right now?
It will be in the long run. Markets are good at dealing with inflation when they see it coming, because then they can factor it into interest rates and dividend payments and all that. It's when inflation is jumping all around erratically and no one can see what's happening. That's when the problems start.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, then there will be a problem. As long as inflation more or less stays in check, we'll be fine. As far as the spending goes, a lot of those will be politically chosen projects that lobbyists will fight for and that will benefit their companies and thus the stock market. Not a good thing for the economy, not a good thing for the society we live in, but good for those of us who have mutual funds.
Right. Ryan, it is always a pleasure to have you on. You always give us good information. I want to thank you so very much. Looking forward to our next chat together.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Well, I'm glad that he's positive about things. I really am. That's good. All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about these jobless Americans that are suing states that have ended federal unemployment benefits. And Joe Biden and his tax plan is going to hurt everybody.
You know that I love you. I can't help myself. I love you and nobody else.
This
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come fly with me. Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. I was just looking at Tropical Storm Elsa. It's still a tropical storm. It's gone over Cuba. It's now in basically in the Caribbean, right around Florida. And there's a chance it might roll around into the Gulf, come over near us. I don't know what the good... Have you been tracking it at all?
It is going to come near us. I don't know if it'll hit hurricane status.
Yeah.
It's in the Keys right now, 60-mile-an-hour winds, 75 is hurricane status, but I don't think it'll get to that level.
Okay, let's keep our fingers crossed. And, of course, with all of that work that they've been doing over there near Miami and Surfside with the condo situation, they've had some bad luck with the weather there, but hopefully they'll be able to continue to do their work. Anyway, more jobless Americans are suing states that ended federal unemployment benefits. Oh, those poor dears. Those poor dears. They have to get back up off their backsides and find a job. I'm just crying crocodile tears for them. Out-of-work Americans in Indiana, Texas, and Maryland have filed lawsuits in their states seeking to reinstate a pandemic relief program that paid them an extra $300 a week in unemployment benefits. Andrew, maybe some of these... Now, here in Florida, we don't have that either. We pulled out that $300 per week, which I think is a good thing. Seems like that will get everybody back to their jobs. What do you think? Is that...
What do I think?
Yes, sir. What do you think?
I think these vile, disgusting people need to get off their rear end and get a job and go to work.
Exactly.
And get off the government's back.
Well said. That's exactly my thought, indeed. So it seems like, and I'm glad to see it, I was out last night watching the hockey game over at Norton's, which you know and Ed knows, and they were packed. I mean, it was really good to see that people are back, you know. And I was thinking about all of those workers in there, you know, the waitresses and everything else. And it was good to see. It seems like the hospitality industry is back in form. Do you sense that as well here in Florida?
Well, I think everything in Florida is back to normal, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You know, what's going on with these people not going back to work, you know, if this country had to be formed with these type of people, we wouldn't have had a country.
Yeah.
They got no ambition, Paul. They have no drive. They want to be babysat. Get out of your parents' basement. Go to work.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Paul, you got Trump on Saturday had 45,000 people in Sarasota. You know that Biden went to Michigan at around the same time during that day, he had 42 people.
I was going to say 45.
But he got 80 million votes, Paul. You know, people are starting to see the fraud in this election big time, Paul, and they're not happy.
Well, the one thing that I push back a little bit on, if I might, is that both of them got numbers, record numbers of votes. Trump got more votes that nobody disputes. He got more votes the second time around than he did the first time around as well, than he did against Hillary. We can see that. We can see. I mean, the country is split down the middle. We got, we got like 100 million people voting, and each of them got close to 50 million votes.
I think that middle is moving more and more to the right.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, Paul, people are seeing the way things are going. When you're talking about the employment, listen, the employment is never going to be strong in this country until we get industry back here. Anybody who thinks otherwise is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was bringing the industry back. Biden made them all turn and go the other way.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think you're right about that.
You tell me how the employment and the money level in this country is going to go down. Without industry, Paul, we have nothing.
One of the things that Trump... Yeah, I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. But one of the things that Trump did was to make it attractive for businesses to stay in this country, and not move out and somewhere else and set up headquarters somewhere else with higher taxes. He lowered taxes. This is the same thing Reagan did. He lowered taxes. And actually, in the long run, the government got more money because more people were employed and that were therefore paying taxes.
Well, Paul, now you got people who are going to be paying a 28% corporate tax in this country, and then they want to put a 15% global tax on top of that.
That's right.
So these corporations are going to be paying almost 50% in taxes to support all these things that the government wants to give the people. I don't think so, Paul.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, look on a state-by-state basis with these high-tax states, taxing businesses that then pull out. And then the people follow, with the high taxes that they have. Here's something I wanted to mention. Biden's tax plan would cost, apparently, the richest Americans an extra $1.5 million next year, according to analysts. It says here the top sliver of households could see their tax bill substantially get higher under his spending plan. Now, most people don't give a continental damn about the super rich. In fact, most of us probably wish that somehow bad tidings would befall them. But the truth is, the super rich are the ones that keep a lot of other people employed, right?
That's right.
The Microsoft, Charlie, yeah, all of them, exactly. So this is a new analysis that came out from the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Said the wealthiest of Americans who earn at least $3.5 million would pay an additional $1.5 million in federal taxes every year if Congress approves Biden's tax and spending proposal. Let's see. I'm just going down here. But here's the thing. With all of these taxes that he wants other people to pay, and especially those that involve companies, they pass those costs on to the consumers. They are just a funnel or a conduit, and people never seem to figure that out. And this is one of the Democrats' mantra: we're going to tax the rich, we're going to tax corporations, and everybody goes, "Yeah, right." But but these corporations they know how to send the money, send those costs on down.
Listen, first of all, Biden is sleeping with China. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, did you know that only 14,000 people viewed his 4th of July speech? Isn't that about half the size of Amalie Arena?
Yes.
Okay, so how are you telling me this guy got 80 million votes? People could care less about him, Paul.
Yeah.
They can care less about him. And Paul, they got the immigrants coming in this country wanting to give him everything. My ancestors came to this country, Paul. They adopted American culture, whatever it was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't spit on the country's traditions.
True.
All right? And they weren't a burden on the government, Paul. They didn't demand anything. Where did these immigrants coming in this country going to get everything and demand?
This is the insidious poison of socialism and Marxism. It's to make people want what other people have and be jealous of them, and to come up with a way of separating those people from the money that they have earned.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's
what it is. So, and one of the Democrats, what is the Democratic mantra? It's always divide and conquer. Always divide and conquer. If it's not economically, it's racially, it's culturally, it's genderally, or whatever the word is, right?
That's what's bringing this country down, Paul.
Of course.
People are forgetting everything that's happening, and they're dealing with all this little bullcrap, piddly-ass stuff. Okay. It's ridiculous. Do you know that there are 5,000 teachers, Paul, that signed a pledge that they will teach critical race theory even if it's against the law?
You are so right. In fact, I just happen to have that story. I'm going to back what you said. That says the country's largest teachers union has moved to undermine the left wing. They call it the left wing talking point that critical race theory is not being taught to children by voting to promote it and arguing that it is, quote, reasonable and appropriate, unquote, to use CRT, critical race theory, in social studies classes. The National Education Association has approved a plan to publicize CRT and dedicate a, quote, team of staffers, unquote, to assist union members looking to, quote, fight back against anti-CRT rhetoric. So there you go.
You know, I think teachers ought to worry about teaching math, history, and science. They don't need critical race theory. These kids can't tell the difference between a Phillips screwdriver and a flathead screwdriver, Paul. And what do you think critical race theory is going to teach them? It's going to teach them absolutely nothing. It's going to brainwash them. It's going to divide this country to disaster.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. I think it is imperative that we talk about slavery and the way that our country allowed it, like all the other industrialized, by the way, countries at that time. We were not the only one. It was going on in Britain and was going on all over the place. But we also have to talk about the fact that we grew out of it, that we learned from our mistakes, that we are no longer, I mean, to say that this country is bad for black people right now is ridiculous. What other country can they go to where it's better? I'd like to know.
They've got it made, Paul. They've got it made. They have their own colleges. They have their own television station. They have their own holidays. We don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do a white-black thing. I have never liked the idea of grouping people, ever. I think that's the worst thing you can do. Absolutely the worst, because
they got to realize we're all human beings.
We're all human. We're all, and stop looking at a person as in a certain group, right?
We're Americans.
We are Americans, exactly.
We all need to be Americans and believe in America.
Right.
Unfortunately, these people don't, and that's what's making this country weak, Paul. Everybody's worried about their own little circle that needs to be taken care of. No, this country needs to be taken care of.
Right.
With all these people together, we can do it.
You're right. I couldn't have said it better. And, you know, individualized people. When you see somebody and you're talking to them or whatever, individualize them and base your feeling on them, on them as an individual, not them as a woman or a black or a gay person or whatever you want, you know.
Exactly. We're human beings. And that's why I keep saying the only thing that's going to save this world is a war of the worlds. We get attacked from aliens. That's the only thing going to join us together.
And you're right about that. Hey, by the way, do you think there are some other interplanetary things floating around in our
sky? Of course, Paul.
Guy?
Listen, let's face the facts. We're one little planet and one solar system, which is part of a galaxy, right?
Now, yes.
There's so many galaxies out there, so many planets. There's got to be life. It might not be as we know it.
Yeah, but do you
have to be life?
Well, that I think we can all agree on. I would absolutely.
But, oh, I believe they're here.
But that was my point. Can they have gotten here? I mean, are they so far advanced that they have gotten here?
Sure, I believe so. Look what we're capable of doing, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, they can be so. Like I say, life is different, totally different. They on their planet, they can have different minerals or whatever to build different things. You have no idea. But I definitely believe it. I believe they've been here, and I believe they were here during the Egyptian times building these pyramids.
Oh, you do?
Anyway, I don't,
you think those were built by aliens?
Well, no, they were built by slaves.
Yes.
They had guidance on how to do it. I mean, watch the chariots of the gods. It's very convincing.
Okay.
You
so
tell me how these, I don't care, they got 15,000 slaves. They've got boulders bigger than 10 houses that they lifted up on top of these pyramids. What do you think they did? Where'd they get a rope? Chains? Where'd they get a rope?
So the aliens helped lift it.
Well, something happened along the lines. I could tell you that, because I do not believe that they built them by hand.
Okay. Now, that's very interesting. I often wonder how you think things through, but maybe you're right. Maybe they were here.
I want them to tell me and you know, show me the rope that was strong enough for 15,000 slaves to push it.
Oh, I know how they did it.
Ton brick, yeah.
They started at the top and worked their way down.
There you go. There you go. I know people probably believe that. No, Paul.
If you had aliens, you could do that.
You know, they got hieroglyphics on walls that they've seen from centuries and centuries ago, depicting different things. And definitely something. Now, how is it that you can actually see these pyramids from outer space? They're so big.
They are huge. I mean, it was a wonder of the world.
And you know, I was reading that inside some of these pyramids, they found the little clay cups with a zinc and a copper lead coming out the top of it.
Oh.
It is. It's a battery, Paul.
So, you're talking about you're talking about before Christ, the pyramid.
That's right.
Really? They had ever-ready batteries and stuff like that?
I don't know if they were ever-ready, but you got this clay cylinder or whatever with a copper and a zinc lead coming
out. Holy cow.
That tells me one thing.
It could be that it just got stuck there a few years ago.
No, they say it dates back with all these carbon tests, you know.
Maybe.
I definitely believe. We don't know, but sure we'll be confronted one day.
Well, on that very interesting note, my friend, I thank you for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you again on Friday.
You got it. Hey, you know what you need to do? We need to ask these people that don't believe in God if they believe in aliens. See how they come up with that one.
I've never thought of that. That's a very interesting point. I think you could be an atheist and still believe in other other beings, don't you? Huh?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, maybe those planets have their own god, too, you know.
You know, at one time during World War II, a P-51 crashed somewhere in an isolated island, and they came back a few years later, the people were worshiping it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
So,
okay, my friend. Well, thank you, and we'll talk again Friday.
You got it, buddy. See you later.
All right. Andrew, the Master Barber, let us take our break when we come back. George Soros-backed college is pushing the abolition of prisons?
So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes sirree.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. We are here, and we are having a new website, actually, but we are keeping the same name, OurFreedomWorks.com. It is in the process of coming on or going live or whatever the term is. It might be, as they say, dark right now, but it will be kind of an updated website. You'll still be able to go in there and click on our podcast button. And Ed, thank goodness for Ed. He puts all of our shows on podcast. You'll still be able to do that. You'll see who the guest is. You will be able to click on the Tan Talk link so that you can listen to us and listen to what you know, the Tan Talk radio station. So we got all of that going. Just, I guess, a little bit, you might call it more modern, more updated website. But so if you click on OurFreedomWorks.com right now, you may not see it, but hopefully it will be up and running within the next 1 to 2 days. So there you go. All right. Well, a New York liberal arts college that was the recipient of a $500 million endowment from our good buddy George Soros, the liberal billionaire, is offering a course this fall on how to sell the abolition of prisons. Now, they have got a class. Listen to this, Ed. The class is called the Abolishing Prisons and the Police class. Can you believe that? Exactly. Would you take a course on the abolishing prisons? Maybe I would, just to find out what the hell they think. It's being offered at Bard College. I've never heard of Bard College, B-A-R-D College. It's in New York. And in this course, it will teach the kids how to sell abolition to the masses and to design a multimedia ad campaign to make prison abolition go viral. That's the course description.
Wonderful.
What is Soros thinking? Does he want to totally turn our country into chaos? Mm-hmm. Now, the course was first reported by Campus Reform, which covers liberal classes, or no, I'm sorry, covers liberal biases on college campuses. So there you go. I mean, don't go to Bard College. Save your money. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10 strangest towns, we're actually doing it by state. We're going to do the next 10 states. But before we do that, our beloved Lightning played into an overtime loss. I didn't feel that bad about it. I don't know how you felt. It was an exciting game. But in a way, it means that we might be able to win the Stanley Cup at home. What do you think?
I said yesterday I would not be surprised, nor would I be disappointed if they lose that game yesterday, because then it comes home and they still have to win one out of three remaining.
So right, exactly, yeah.
I would like to see them come home and do it here.
Yeah, know? I think so, too.
And I told you yesterday, I thought Canadians are going to be a little jacked up because they didn't want to get swept.
Right.
You know, they're going to get beat, but they don't want to get swept.
Didn't want to get embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly. So they played extra hard.
They did.
I don't think the Lightning tanked the game in any way, but I don't know, maybe let's just say it kind of worked out maybe the way a lot of them probably wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we'd have our next game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully the storm will be out of here by then. It's supposed to be out of here by sometime tomorrow.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, so we might have that storm actually.
It's fast moving, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the brunt of it will be over tonight.
Ah.
So it's going to be a long night tonight.
Okay. I guess, I don't know. I just feel totally confident that the Lightning are going to pick up their second Stanley Cup in a row.
Okay.
All right, here we go. These are the top, we've been doing, this will be our third installment, Ed. The top 10 strangest towns by state. And the strangest town names. We already did Alabama all the way through to Maryland. So we're going to pick up now with Massachusetts and go all the way down to New Jersey. So here we go. Drum roll for Massachusetts. Satan's Kingdom. I love it. Satan's Kingdom, Massachusetts. You almost can't believe that these are real.
Are there any churches in that town?
I don't think so. I wouldn't build one there. I just wouldn't. All right. Drum roll for Michigan. Free soil. Free soil. Hey, well, wait a second. There's free soil all over the place. What do you? What, is that all you got going in your neck of the woods that you got to name your town Free Soil? Drum roll for Minnesota. Little Canada. Little Canada, Minnesota. That's got to be right up there near the border of Canada, right? Wherever the heck that is. Very interesting. Drum roll for Mississippi. Possum Neck. Possum Neck, Mississippi. I guess that Possum Neck, that's like a little hillbillies, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Drum roll for Missouri. Frankenstein. Frankenstein, Missouri. Did they name him for a real person or did they name him for the monster, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay. Drum roll for Montana. Big Sag. That's what a busty woman becomes at age 65.
Ooh.
Big Sag.
Ooh.
All right. drum roll for
Nebraska. The opinions expressed on the Paul Malloy show. Not those of the.
All right. Drum roll for Nebraska. Worms. Not worm. Worms. Worms, Nebraska.
Worms, Nebraska.
Okay. Drum roll for Nevada. I think this is perfectly appropriate. Jackpot,
yeah,
Nevada.
Jackpot, Nevada.
I can't think of a better.
Who wouldn't want to go visit Jackpot?
Yeah. I wonder if it's close to Las Vegas or Reno or something like that. Drum roll for New Hampshire. Dumber, but it's not. No. It's spelled D-U-M-M-E-R, dumber. That's really dumb.
You know how many people probably correct that?
Yeah.
D-U-M-B?
Yeah. I'm going to Dumber, New Hampshire. Everything is better when you're in Dumber. My goodness. Okay, drum roll for New Jersey. God. Uh-oh. Oh, you ready?
Yep.
Foul Rift.
Foul Rift.
Two words. Foul Rift, New Jersey. Now, who would name their town that unless they didn't want anybody to be there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you move there? Why would you even think about looking for a house there?
A unique name.
Foul Rift. I mean, it has to be people that don't want anybody to be there. Maybe they changed their name, you know, from Pleasant View to Foul Rift after they thought they got enough people. Okay. Anyway, before we go, we got a few more minutes. And by the way, I want to tell you that you've got to stay tuned after the news because Patsy with a Z is coming on. She does a wonderful show. So you stay tuned for her as well. Any last thoughts baseball-wise with our beloved Rays? Are they getting any better?
They pulled one out last night. They were way ahead, then they were losing, and then they got a walk-off.
They did, huh?
Yeah, they did pull it out in the end.
All right. Well, that is good news. All right. Go Bolts. We'll be back on Friday. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. New developments this morning at the scene of the condo collapse in Surfside, Florida.
We have recovered four additional victims. The number of confirmed deaths is now 32.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava says they're getting a better handle on the unaccounted for total.
Of that 113, only around 70 of those are people we have been able to confirm were in fact in the building during the collapse.
WFOR-TV reporter Brooke Schaefer says the search is easier after the demolition of the part of the complex that was still standing.
They're going in grids to search through and continue to look for survivors. When that building was still standing, there were certain parts of the grid they said they weren't able to access. And so now with the demolition complete, they said they have access to all of the grids.
It's a vacation week for many in Florida. A tropical storm is an unwelcome guest.
We're having a great time in Southwest Florida. Won't scare us away.
Elsa is spinning off the coast, expected to make landfall tomorrow. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Elsa is expected to be near hurricane strength tonight prior to making landfall in Florida. It will track parallel to the west coast of Florida today with strong wind gusts and heavy rain, along with the potential for isolated tornadoes.
The Delta variant of COVID-19 is a top concern. It's feared unvaccinated people who traveled and gathered with others over the 4th could get sick and boost infection rates. Dr. John Swartzberg is a professor at Cal Berkeley.
If you're not vaccinated or not completely vaccinated, you should be very, very concerned.
Overseas, Tajikistan is reinforcing its southern border after more than 1,000 Afghan soldiers crossed over, fleeing surging Taliban forces. Investigative journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's worked on the history of slavery, has ended a high-profile tenure battle at one university, taking a job at another instead.
The dispute over tenure for Hannah-Jones at the University of North Carolina was ugly in public. Even though the school eventually voted to grant her tenure, she exclusively told CBS This Morning.
It's just not something that I want anymore.
Instead, the author behind the 1619 Project for the New York Times says...
The inaugural night chair in race and journalism at Howard University.
Hannah-Jones will also found the Center for Journalism and Democracy at Howard. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
A private report on the services sector, the part of the economy where most Americans work, indicates slow growth in June after a record expansion in May. Wall Street right now going down. Most stocks, the Dow is down 384. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth, personalized and affordable financial planning for everyday Americans. No wealth or asset minimums. Quality financial advice for every stage of your life.
Monday, the Rays came home against the Cleveland Indians and got off to a terrific start.
A 1-1 pitch.
Swing and a drive! Deep to right field! No doubt about it! To the video board! A grand slam for Brandon Lau, and it's 4-0 Rays.
Tampa Bay squandered a pair of four-run leads, though. Went into the ninth trailing, but found a way to come back.
Now the 3-1. Swinging a chopper toward the right side, fielded by the second baseman Hernandez. Throw to the plate, it's wide! Rays win! Rays win! Rays win! Yandy Diaz puts it in play. Cesar Hernandez can't make it.
So the Rays win it by a final score of 9-8. Thanks to Tropical Storm Elsa, the Rays are off on Tuesday with a doubleheader Wednesday, airtime at 11:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
For information on the Rays, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson.